a white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Vegas Sports Girl. I'm so jazzed. I'm Tanya Brennan, your host, and joining me today probably needs no introduction. Most people in Vegas already know this guy. John Cecenti is my co-host.
Hello. Just for the record, though, I am not in stilettos.
You're not in stilettos?
Not in stilettos. I heard that little intro, but just so everybody out there listening, I am not in stilettos.
Well, guess what? I am, and that is going to be the ritual every single week. Tuesday at 4 o'clock, I'm going to wear a different pair of stilettos. You got to have stilettos when you report sports.
Love it. We got to get you out of these desk though, because we're losing the red stilettos behind the desk.
Well, Michael, I don't know if you can pick these up, but let me show you my red stilettos. You got them? You know what? I always wanted to have my own retail line of stilettos. Maybe we can work on that, right?
I love it.
Awesome.
I love it.
Well, thanks for joining us, John. I do want to brag about you just for a little bit, if that's okay. John's not only a dear friend, he's a member of the 2016 class from ESPN's Next Gen Leadership Program and a member of the Board of the Directors of the UNLV Football Foundation and Board of Trustees for the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. And guess what, guys? He is the Executive Director for ESPN Sports. So I'm honored. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Well, hopefully we entertain some people today and entertain some people going forward. And hopefully, on paper at least, it looks like I know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. That's your middle name, John. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, John actually is responsible. We just wrapped up the Las Vegas Bowl here during the holiday season. How'd that go, John?
Everything went well. Everything was up. Attendance was up. TV ratings were up. It was a great event. We drove tourism to Las Vegas, which is always important. Did about $27 million of economic impact the week before Christmas. So everybody's happy, and now we start planning for next year already.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I know I was talking a little bit earlier with you in the break room, and you said you can't talk about the next bowl, but anything you can share with us?
Not a thing.
Not a thing. There you go.
We'll save that for a later show down the line.
So we'll have to have you guys tune in to Vegas Sports Girl every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Please go to my website, www.vegassportsgirl.com, and check us out on all the social networks. But, you know, John, we were talking about why I thought it was so critical to start Vegas Sports Girl. And this is such a great city, right? I mean, so much excitement. We're the entertainment capital of the world.
Well, it's changing very quickly. Mm-hmm. And you talk about very exciting. I've been in the sports industry for 20 plus years. I'm kind of dating myself now. If anybody with the side camera angle can see the gray hairs coming in. But I've been in this town for quite a while working in sports. And I don't think anybody ever expected us to be where we are today. We have NHL hockey. Mm-hmm. We have the NFL coming to town. There's rumors of Major League Baseball or the NBA. I mean, it's non-stop in this town. And I think now is the perfect time for you to kind of get this thing up and running and get your show going right on the cusp of sports taking off in this town. And the Convention and Visitors Authority has actually changed. We used to be just the entertainment capital of the world. Mm-hmm. Now they have all of us kind of promoting and selling. Las Vegas is not just the entertainment capital of the world. It is the sports and entertainment capital of the world. And it's going to continue to grow.
That's right. And we have, you know, like you said, we have the best entertainers right here in Las Vegas. I think we have the best restaurateurs. We have everything here now with sports. And with the Raiders coming, you know, that's exciting. But shoot, we've got a hockey team that I am just so jazzed about. Never did I think that I would love hockey. My background is the NFL. I'm obsessed. I mean, I cannot stop tuning into hockey.
I understand. I got my start in hockey. For the one thing that did not make this bio, just coming out of college out of UNLV, we used to have a professional hockey team here in town called mm-hmm. the Las Vegas Thunder, which everybody thought when they came to town, they were crazy to have hockey in the desert. And we saw very quickly that there are tons and tons of hockey fans in town. What the Thunder was not able to capture, what the Golden Knights have done a tremendous job of doing, is the Thunder captured the hockey fans, and they had, mm-hmm. you know, the 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 fans every night. The Golden Knights have captured the non-hockey fans and turned them into hockey fans. And I think that's where, you know, the majority of their success has come in. And I mean, there's people out there, they're diehards that have no idea what's going on the right. ice, but they love their nights. They're streaming Go Knights Go. They're wearing the gear and they love hockey now, which is great.
And it's exciting, at least from my perspective too, that I'm learning so much about this sport. You know, I watched a few games and I had to ask, what the heck is icing? You know, these are the terms that I'm learning, but it's pretty fascinating to have ice in the desert.
Are you going to get some stiletto skates?
You better believe it. You better believe it.
Some red stiletto skates.
I'm going to have to work with the Knights and see if we can get something just special for this show with their logo on.
Good luck standing up on those.
But really, the whole purpose of this show is to invite men, women to tune in every week. We want to entertain not only those sports enthusiasts, but also invite some of the more, I don't want to say novice sports enthusiasts that want to learn more, but we want to open up our doors and have you join us every week so that we can actually share not only what's happening in sports and entertainment, but I think there's a lot of good going on in sports in general. You hear about the negativity, you hear about some of the kneeling with NFL, but there really is a lot of good things going on, I think, that go unnoticed. And a lot of our athletes are giving back to the community, making a difference.
So. Well, I think it's great to have somebody to tell that story too. And I've known you for quite some time, and you're definitely a knowledgeable sports girl. And for those out there that think that girls don't like sports as much as guys, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, working for ESPN, we see all the research. It doesn't matter what sport or what television show, just as many women are watching sports and following sports and are passionate about sports as men. So you keep telling that story and doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. Well, we've got more coming up on the Vegas Golden Knights. I know they have a game tonight. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, where how their road trip was, what we're expecting this week. They have a jam-packed week of games. Stay tuned. Vegas Sports Girl, we want to bring you entertainment news, also different community initiatives. We want to talk about different foundations and giving back. I know the Raiders have a great foundation. And without our sponsors, we couldn't do this show. So I want to thank a big shout out to Justin Finley and Jim DiGiulio over at Finley Volvo for sponsoring Vegas Sports Girl. We really appreciate you guys. Justin's awesome.
Justin's awesome, and the whole Finley group is awesome. I mean, they've been supporting sports in this town for as long as I can remember, and probably long before then, and I'm sure they're going to continue to. So thank you to the Finley Auto Group for all you guys do.
Yep. Go pick up a Volvo, or, you know, they're good at selling you. He sold me into my Audi when I wasn't even expecting it. He said, you're not going to drive anything else, but you're going to drive a Finley car. So here I am with a Finley Audi. You know, so anyways, coming up, let's talk about the Knights this evening. I know that the goal is throughout this season, we want to have some special guests. We're going to have some Knights players on the show. You know, they've got a big game tonight. And would you say it's a must-win situation?
Well, you know, luckily, I think the expectation for them has been ridiculous. I mean, what happened last year was unbelievable. And to get that same magic back, now that everybody knows who you are, now that everybody's, you know, seen what you can do, I think everybody's treating them a little bit different this year. The good thing is they're in prime playoff position. They're going to be fine. They know what it takes to get back. I think they can take I'm sure the coaching staff isn't saying this. I'm sure the players aren't saying this, but they know they could take the foot off the gas pedal just a little bit because they know they're in a pretty good position and they know what it takes to continue to go on. I'm excited because I'm actually going tonight for the first time in 2019.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I usually go to the games early in the season, and then I have to take off for, you know, college football season and the busy season. And then I usually gear back up in late January after we start, you know, kind of getting caught up. So tonight's actually my first game back in 2019, so I'm fired up about it.
I tell you what, the best part of the game, you know, the puck drops tonight at 7. The game starts at 7, and they're playing the Coyotes tonight, so it's a big game. But I think the best part is just the entire pregame starting at 6 o'clock. That first hour is pretty entertaining, and it's almost like, for me, it's a business meeting. I run into everyone, all the community leaders, friends, people that I run into that I haven't seen for years, but it's really a good networking spot.
Yeah, and I've been to sporting events all over the country, and I've seen it. And at the time, a couple of years ago, I went to a Nashville Predators game down in Nashville. It was the first round of the playoffs, and I came back saying, nobody does it as good as them. This thing is awesome. I can say that the Knights do it better than just about anybody I've seen. They understand that, listen, as a sports administration, sports executives, you can sell the game, you can promote the game, you can sell tickets, sell sponsorship, you can do everything. What you can't control is on the ice. So you don't know year in and year out what kind of team you have. You don't know, you know, game in and game out what kind of game your team's going to have. The one thing you can control, though, is the environment and the atmosphere. And I think from you know, the pregame show to the sound, to the music, to the videos that they're doing, I don't know if there's anybody that does it better than the Golden Knights. And I can tell you, you know, in the sports world, we've heard from other people around the country, they've heard about it. They've seen it. People mm-hmm. are coming to town to check this out, to see what they're doing. You know, and they're it's a copycat world. They're going to figure out a way, right. how do we entertain our fans a little bit more? And so the Golden Knights keep doing a great job, and I tip my hat to them and tell them to keep going and make us proud.
It's interesting. I was a guest with the president, Kerry Buchholz, who's just a class act. And let me just tell you, this entire organization is just a class act. I enjoy working with everyone in that industry and that team. But he gave me a tour in their facility, in their venue, and there's so much pride that they have with this team. And what I was most impressed at was meeting a lot of the guys that were on the digital team, as you alluded to just a few minutes ago. The way they put the content, the web, I mean, they own it. And when you watch those pregame performances, it's almost like putting on a Super Bowl. It's crazy. So...
Well, and you know, Kerry's been a longtime sports executive. He's seen a lot of things. He's worked in minor league hockey. He knows, he's worked in the NBA, so he knows what it takes to put on a good show. And I think the great hire that they made was when mm-hmm. they stole the head of entertainment and game operations from the WWE. They do it night in and night out. Say what you want about Vince McMahon and what he does with wrestling, and it's fake and it's this. They create a show. They create a story. They create right. a villain, a hero, and every night is you know, loud music and energy and energy. And I worked for Vince McMahon for 1 year with oh, wow. the XFL back in 2001. And I'll never forget it. Every Tuesday morning, Vince was on those conference calls going, what do you have an idea? But everything was about entertaining the fans, mm-hmm. putting on a good show, because he, like he would say, we can't control what happens on the field, but we can make sure everybody leaves there having a great time. And I think that was one of the key hires for the Golden Knights. And you're seeing it night in and night out. Absolutely. It's an unbelievable show.
Well, I'm a little bummed that I'll have to admit the first year out, I didn't buy my season tickets. So I told Mr. McPhee, I said, Georgia, if anything comes up, if there's any opportunity for me to buy those season tickets, you know, this is the time to jump on. But that team is very entertaining. So
you
looking
have them
forward,
now, though, right?
I do. Mm-hmm. I actually mm-hmm. attend all the games. Very supportive. But yeah, I love the drummers. I love it all. So tonight the puck drops 7 o'clock against Coyotes. Thursday on Valentine's night, they're playing the Maple Leafs, and Saturday they have a big game against the Predators.
Are they wearing any special jerseys for Valentine's night?
I don't know. Knowing
we
them,
did that years ago with the Thunder. We had them. We had the players. We rolled out pink jerseys with giant red hearts in the front where the logo and the numbers were. And me being in the marketing department, I had to deliver the news that they were wearing pink jerseys with hearts all over them. And the players.
Wow.
I thought I was going to get my butt kicked in that locker room when they saw those for the first time. So. Curious to see.
It would not surprise me just because they're so theme oriented to do something on Valentine's Day. I was going to say, you didn't wear a pink jersey. Though.
Absolutely, I did.
I
wore it all around. I still have it to this day. I still have it. It's classic. Now,
I need
granted,
to see
that. It's minor league hockey, and you know, it was the IHL at the time. The NHL has different rules on uniforms and what you can and can't do within the league. So I'm not sure what their rules are, but in minor league hockey, it was like minor league baseball. Anything goes, anything you could think of, mm-hmm. do it. Go for it.
Wow. So did you get any fights, John, when you played hockey? Because that's one thing to me that's pretty impressive. from a fan standpoint, you know, football, there's a lot of penalties and the game stops, you know, throughout the game, you know, throughout all the different quarters. But hockey, when there's fights, there is no stopping those. I mean, unless they're flat on the ice, correct?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a little bit of a sissy. if you punch somebody in the face, it hurts your hand.
Okay.
If you get punched in the face, it kind of hurts your face. So I'm not really into fighting. I was the guy that kind of, you hold somebody's jersey and you kind of hang in the background. You act like you're going to be tough, but right. you're kind of keeping everybody apart. That was a little bit more my role.
What position did you play?
I was a forward, but I didn't play in college. I played all recreational. I played youth hockey. I was clearly not very good, but it was fun.
Well, one of these days, I've already put my request in. I want Mr. Ryan Reeves right here on this show because I want to talk to him about his fights. Because that's pretty impressive.
You talk to him about the fights. I'll talk to him about the beer.
That sounds
good.
We'll
sit here and drink his beer. You can talk about fights.
Well, I want to be part of that, too. We need to do some beer tasting.
Watch how much better this show gets with a couple beers in you.
So how important is this game on Saturday against the Predators? Because I know that's really key. We need to start kind of winning some of these games, right?
Yeah, I think when you get to this point in the year, I think all the games are important. It's starting to wind down. I think everybody's starting to see the playoff picture. You know, Nashville's one of the better teams in the league. So I think every game is important from here on out. What you want to try to do is be in that top half so that you get to host playoff games as opposed to go on the road for those playoff games. So I think you're going to see kind of a different level of intensity pick it up here. And that's not just from the Golden Knights. You're going to see that from everybody. Mm-hmm. As they start jockeying for position for playoffs, I think you're going to see a little bit different product going forward.
Awesome. Well, we love our Knights. Go Knights, go. I think we got to roll out to a commercial break here pretty soon here. Again, tune into www.vegassportsgirl.com. Follow us on social. And we got more NFL news and baseball news coming up. Talk soon. Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl. We're back live. John Cecenti. I love that song.
Just a quick gripe, though. I love that song, too. And I love Guns N' Roses. And I'll never forget when I first got that Appetite for Destruction album. I'm playing it. My dad hated it. And I can't believe you're listening to this. Still so disappointed because I got all fired up to go see them at the Hard Rock. And Axl was like 2.5 hours late. And by the time he went on, it was 1 a.m. and I'm old now. And by the time 3 o'clock in the morning came around, I left. So I didn't even get to see the second half of the Guns N' Roses come. So I'm still bitter at Axl about that.
I don't blame you.
Because I was fired up about it.
Do they refund tickets if the performer's late?
No, but when they brought him back the second time, I talked to some of the Hard Rock execs and they said they wrote it in the contract that he stops making money if he starts going on late. So apparently he had this schedule where he'd be out all night and then do his thing, and they'd sleep all day. And when he got there, he got there. And, you know, the show's supposed to start at, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and he'd roll in at, like, midnight, 1 o'clock. Then he'd want to, you know, get ready. And by the time he'd go out, it'd be almost 1 in the morning, and everybody'd just be sitting there waiting.
Unbelievable.
But
I can't believe he dissed you like that.
I don't think it was intentional at me, but I was so fired up about it. And
I know.
There he goes.
What has been your favorite show that you've seen here in Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas.
Let's say Las Vegas, and then we'll say anywhere.
Yeah. In Las Vegas, it's been tough. We're so spoiled here.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody comes to Las Vegas. One of the coolest shows I've ever been to, which was absolutely exhausting, I was a big 311 fan.
Okay.
And I got to see 311 on 311 Day. And for those of you that don't know, on 311 Day, they play just about every song known to man. They played for 5 hours.
Wow.
By the time you get towards the end of it, you're just exhausted. So that was kind of fun, kind of one and done on that. Mm-hmm. Greatest show I've ever seen was two buddies of mine. We went to Italy. We traveled through Italy for 15 days and we ended up in Torino, Italy, where Bono's wife came out and met my buddy, escorted us in and put us on the stage on one of the equipment trunks at the Olympic Stadium in Torino to watch the world tour opening of the U2 concert,
which
was out of this world. And we're just looking out at the stage, 100,000 people jumping up, screaming and yelling. Wow. And, you know, the Euro concerts, they get a little more crazy than maybe we let people do here. So that was probably the coolest concert experience I've ever had.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
We are spoiled here in Vegas. We have some of the best performances, shows, entertainers. I mean, it's nonstop.
Yeah. I got a little giddy when Justin Timberlake was here last time. I'm not going to lie.
I love JT.
I do too.
Oh my gosh. Do you have a favorite song with JT? Oh my God. He is such a good dancer. And I'm a former dancer, so I appreciate all of his moves.
Yeah, I cannot do his moves.
I would love to see that,
John. When I'm alone, I try. I got the bye-bye-bye dance down because 2 years in a row, I got paired up with one of his bandmates.
Sure.
In a celebrity golf tournament.
Which one?
So one of them was here when it was Justin Timberlake's Shriners. Mm-hmm. I got to play in the Shriners Pro-Am, and I got paired up with Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC.
Okay.
And kind of hit it off, nothing real special. Well, the next year I go to the Toby Hall, retired baseball player in Tampa Bay, who I went to college with. Toby did a celebrity golf tournament down in Tampa, and I went to play in it. And sure enough, 2 years in a row, I get paired with Chris Kirkpatrick.
Wow.
That's when we actually hit it off, and I tried to do the bye. bye 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 dance after a couple.
Was that after a few cocktails?
Yeah, a couple holes, oh, and a couple cocktails. It looked good to me.
I wish we had that.
Unfortunately,
on video.
There is video, and it's sitting on my phone, and it hasn't been released to anybody.
Ooh, blackmail video,
to protect
John.
Protect the innocent.
Oh my gosh! So I remember seeing NSYNC in concert here in Las Vegas, and I want to say it was way out at Sam Boyd Stadium. And I went with, when I worked at the time with Greenspuns, I went with our vice president's daughter. Now, that's kind of awkward, isn't it? But we were in the first two rows screaming, you know, our heads off. They were amazing. But I know that I noticed that Joey Fatone is hosting a game show now.
Yeah, he's
Do you ever
quite
see that?
A bit. Yeah, I try not to. Like,
I don't know. Do you like... do you guys like NSYNC?
Secretly, I appreciate the boy bands. It just goes back to like the old, like New Edition, still to me is awesome.
The bomb.
It is awesome. And I secretly have a little affinity for the boy bands, but I'm certainly not cranking out, rolling down my windows and cranking it in my car so everybody can see. I'm like a closet boy band guy.
Have you seen Backstreet Boys?
No, but funny story is after the Super Bowl last year, I'm standing at the Paris talking to a guy for half hour, 45 minutes, and we're talking about the Super Bowl and sports, and I go, so what do you do? He goes, I'm in a show. I go, really, what show? He tells me he's in the Backstreet Boys show, and I had no idea at the time. And I feel like every story involves having a couple cocktails. So I had a couple cocktails in me. And I said, I love the Backstreet Boys, but I'm an honorary NSYNCer because of the relationship with you know, the golf pairing. And it just turned out that he grew up with that guy and thought it'd be hilarious to FaceTime him on his phone while we were singing a Backstreet Boys song.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Again, glad that that video didn't ever surface.
I need to find that video.
Oh, no, man.
That would be priceless.
I keep it low key.
That's priceless,
I keep it
John.
Low key. We take this stuff to the grave.
We got more entertainment. We'll talk more on entertainment here in Las Vegas. Let's talk about the NFL. I know we're digressing a little bit, and everyone says, oh, the NFL season's over. Spring training is here with baseball. There's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL behind, I guess, what a lot of people are tuning into, right? There's a lot of things happening.
Yeah, some drama, some good storylines. It feels like the NFL starts every year after the Super Bowl, it starts like a whole nother season. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? The NFL's done a really good job. I think they've taken a page out of the NBA and done a really good job about maintaining, you know, some of those stories throughout and leading up to the combine and then the draft and et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, there's a couple stories that they do not like popping up in the media, mm-hmm. and I think they would prefer to avoid, a la the Kareem Hunt story and him being signed by the Browns. And, you know, I guess I have some thoughts on it, but I would guess I would open up to you. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I'm thoroughly disappointed in the Browns' decision to bring Kareem Hunt on again and give him another chance after just knowing why he was let go from the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think he should be there. I think there's a lot of talent. I think that there's players out there that deserve a good spot on teams, and I don't get it.
All right. See,
That's my stance. I don't know.
Here's my take on it. Listen, I'm probably the last person in the world that should be commenting on on something like that. You know, if you compare the video to Ray Rice to the video of Kareem Hunt, I think they're two totally different scenarios on you know, the egregious actions of Ray Rice. I think Kareem Hunt was a little more, you know, I guess in the, how could you say tame, but it didn't seem as egregious as Ray Rice. The other thing too is it wasn't necessarily the domestic violence.
Sure.
It was more of an assault because he apparently didn't know that girl. He had some issues with it, and they were not in a relationship. The one thing that I always struggle with, and I don't really want to comment on whether he should or shouldn't be in there. Mm-hmm. The one part I always struggle with is there's folks in the media, or everybody has an opinion that he should be gone or he should be done. And the one thing that I always keep saying is I've never been in the room with him. I've never had a conversation with him. And I don't know the kind of person he actually is. Mm-hmm. Who's to say, like, and there's only a couple people that do know that, right? Did he have a breakdown? Did he lose all sense of thought? Did he have too many drinks? Like, there's so many factors that fire into that people don't talk about, and I don't know the answers to that.
Right.
But I would love to sit in a room and look them in the eye and listen to them. And, you know, people can fake it too. They can tell you
Absolutely.
What you want to hear. But you know, what has he demonstrated? What does he say? And what is really going on with him? And I have a hard time saying that until I actually were able to do that. So that's just me.
You nailed it. I agree with that. I think it's all about understanding someone, what's their motives, but it's also understanding character. And I think when franchises are hiring players, I can speak for the 49ers just from working with them. Their whole strategy in hiring their team now is all about character. They're not putting up with it. So based on what I'm hearing, and I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt, I don't like what I hear. I'm a little disappointed in the approval, I guess, to bring him on and give him a chance. But like you said, I don't know the guy. We'll see. Another positive story, I guess, you know, in the NFL, Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy winner out of Oklahoma. This is pretty cool. This kid is so talented with football, baseball. He had the chance to either play professional in the NFL or in the MLB, and he just announced that he was going to pursue a career in the NFL. He's awesome. What do you think?
Well, first off, I think it's I can't believe that this is something I read the other day. He could potentially be the first guy ever to be drafted in the first round in baseball and the first round in football. It's never happened before. You think about some of those athletes over the years that have come along, and
Dion, and
nobody's ever been drafted in the first round. And part of that is I think truly in Kyler's mind, and he'll never admit this because all great athletes know where they're going to be and what they should do. But I think deep down inside, I'm not sure anybody ever thought he would have this much success in football, given his size, given the fact that he wasn't the starter at Oklahoma the year before. I don't think anybody prepared for this. But me personally, if I'm him, I think he's doing it the right way. And you have to think about your future, and you have to think about it. This is a business, right? If he has the opportunity to get drafted in the first round of the NFL, he's going to get a pretty big signing bonus. He's going to get a pretty good salary. If things don't work out in the NFL because whether he can't see over the line, or he gets beat up and he gets hurt and he's not a franchise quarterback, he can always go play baseball. I mean, I grew up playing baseball. That's been my life. And I know for a fact he can take a year off or take 2 years off and get back into the swing of things pretty good. And, you know, I talked to Don Logan over at the now Aviators, who is part of the Oakland A's organization. I said, so what are these guys saying about him as a baseball player?
Sure.
He's fast. He can throw. He can hit. Like, he has all the tools. Those things just don't disappear.
And he's a great leader. I hear that he's a great leader too.
Great leader. So. And he's a really good baseball player. So you know what? In my opinion, he's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Go get the money in the NFL. If it doesn't work out, you could always go play baseball. And, you know, he might have to pay his dues, and it might take him a little while to get to the big leagues, but I think he's doing it the right way.
All right. So I'm getting the great signal of we need to take a break. Thanks, Mark. When we come back, we're going to talk more. I do want to touch upon him a little bit more and more in the NFL and other sports. Stay with us. That is Whitesnake. I don't want to date myself, but I can remember exactly where I was and where I heard that song. That song was totally hip. I always wanted to be the girl in that video. No, I'm not going to date myself. I'm still a youngin. No. So, you know, I loved Whitesnake. She was so cool. And I was, you know, the big hair, and I thought she was always kind of later in years. I think things weren't so favorable.
Wasn't she the one that beat up Chuck Finley? The old
I did not know that.
Yeah, she
went off the deep end a little.
Wow,
that is new news. See, learn something new every day. So before the break, we were talking about Kyler Murray, who actually chose to play in the NFL. I want to ask you, John, what teams do you think would consider a Kyler Murray? Who's looking for a quarterback in the NFL this draft? I have my opinions, but I wanted to ask you.
You got me, man.
Really?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I know the teams that do need a quarterback. I mean, I think the Dolphins have finally reached a point where they're giving up on Tannehill and they want a quarterback. The one that I kept hearing today, which I was shocked about, was, you know, gauging the Raiders' interest.
Wow.
And maybe moving on from Derek Carr and wanting a new quarterback.
That's pretty. That's big. Right.
What Gruden's thinking at any particular time. Heard another rumor today that you know, because Cliff Kingsbury said that years ago when Kyler was coming out of high school, that if he was, you know, ever to draft a quarterback number one overall in the NFL, he would take Kyler Murray. So now there's rumors, do the Cardinals move on from Rosen?
Sure.
And here's the thing. We have no idea.
You never know. You never know.
We got 2 months to sit here and you know, pontificate and think, but...
I do think that the Giants, I think that it wouldn't hurt the Giants as a backup to Eli, and maybe the Saints as a backup to Drew. I'm a huge Drew Brees fan. But, you know, we're getting up there a little bit in age. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Something to consider. Or the Redskins, possibly, since Alex Smith is out with his injury.
Sure.
So.
What better guy to, you know, if Drew Brees is, you talk about the Saints, mm-hmm. Drew Brees is only going to play for one or two more years. You get a Kyler Murray that can learn from Drew Brees. Similar type of quarterback, except a little more athletic when he gets outside. But in theory, he's a shorter quarterback.
Sure.
Very accurate. Can play the same type of game as Drew Brees, except he's way more athletic than Drew Brees. It seems like a good fit. The Giants, I can't see them go in that direction. Mm-hmm. They don't strike me as somebody that wants that kind of, you know, open playmaking quarterback. I think they want more of a pocket quarterback, similar to Eli a few years ago. You know, which I think there'll be another quarterback up there. For them.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. The NFL draft is Thursday through Saturday, April 25th through the 27th in Nashville, Tennessee. Speaking of Drew Brees, I was a little surprised this year at the NFL Honors that he didn't walk home with the MVP of the Year award. Is that weird that I'm thinking that?
No. I mean, that
he's so deserving.
There were quite a few people who thought that that's why he got some votes.
Right. You know. I don't even think he showed up.
Listen, those voters are just like you and I, right? They watch games, but they're also watching highlights. They're also watching what guys are doing. And look, Patrick Mahomes, you know, he came in
talented. With
a splash, super talented, you know, very exciting, doing no-look passes, throwing on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got, you know, he got a lot of attention. And sometimes the voters, they're voting on the newest, hottest, coolest thing, you know? Think about how many times did Phil Jackson, you know, not get Coach of the Year when they were winning championships? How many times did Bill Belichick not get Coach of the Year when, you know, some of the jobs that he's done has been unbelievable? But it's almost like, well, those guys have been doing it for so long.
Sure.
That it's just a given. This is the new hot product, and this is what we're going to go with. Again, they're voters just like you and I.
It almost the new splash. You're right. It almost seems like in the league there's kind of the shifting from the veteran quarterbacks, you know, the Bradys and the Mannings and you know I'm getting my Belichick Brady. You know, it's a combination. It's a duo. But all these new young and up and coming quarterbacks, there's so much focus on these new young players. You know, they got fresh knees too.
And they're coming in and playing right away.
Yeah.
And making an impact. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you, I didn't think Baker Mayfield would do what Baker Mayfield did this year. I didn't see that one coming.
He did amazing. Yep.
But he was awesome. He had a really good year. So, I mean, these guys are coming in, they're playing right away, and they're playing well right away for the most part.
So a couple of highlights in the NFL right now. I don't know if they're highlights or lowlights, but Tampa Bay, this is probably a lowlight here. Tampa Bay releases their defensive end, Vinnie Curry, after one season. And Eric Reed signs with the Carolina Panthers. Hopefully, you know, they can do something this year. Panthers were very dismal, in my opinion. I don't know what happened to Cam.
And we don't know what's going to happen to Cam.
Yeah.
Is he getting the rumors that he might have to have surgery? Is he mm-hmm. next year?
Speaking of football, the new league, the Alliance of American Football League, launched this past weekend, and it's kind of a hit, John. I mean, there's 8 teams, a little over 400 players, give or take, in this league. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you're very privy to this league. These players are doing this truly for the love and passion of the game. Some players may have not gotten picked up by a team. Maybe they played with a team for 4 years and were let go. This team is really a lot of former players and those that just want to play football again. Yeah?
Yeah, that and you know, to get another shot. I mean, mm-hmm. I watched a few minutes of early on in the game. I think it was Rick Neuheisel, who's the coach down in Arizona. He said, you know, don't worry about the score. Don't worry about if we win. You know, go out there and make a splash and let everybody know that you can still play this game. And you know, all these guys want an opportunity to go back to the NFL. I watched the Alliance this weekend.
What'd you think?
The AAF. You know, listen, I was part of the group that started the XFL. Way young, not mm-hmm. dating yourself. 2001, I was part of the group that started the XFL. We created so much hype and so much buildup, and this is what we're going to do. It's going to be this. It's going to be this. And then all of a sudden, you know, we drew close to 12 million viewers that first weekend. you know, to put it in perspective, the AAF drew $3 or $4 million. So consider
pretty good, right?
But the difference was we created all that hype and we got everybody to tune in for the XFL, and then the quality of play was not there. People turned in and they didn't see good quality football. This was quite the opposite. You didn't hear a ton of hype leading up to opening weekend. You didn't hear these guarantees. You didn't hear these promises. You didn't hear them challenging the NFL and calling them the no fun league and this is what we're going to do. They kind of came in nice and quiet. They built a good core of executives who have a lot of NFL experience with Bill Polian and Hines Ward and Troy Polamalu, J.K. McKay. They had the right NFL guys in here, and they said, you know, we're going to do some things differently than the NFL. We're going to hopefully, you know, work in concert with the NFL. But I think the football is going to be better. And quite honestly, what I saw out there on Saturday and Sunday was the football was better. You know, they still need to tighten a couple of things up. They only have 4 weeks to prepare for
amazing
season, which is unheard of. It's super fast. But I think there's a lot of positives that came out of that. And I think, you know, they may build up a few more viewers and may take some things that the NFL might end up implementing in that league one day. And I think when it's all said and done, you're going to see these two parties merge together and hopefully finally have a development league or quote-unquote minor league for the NFL to kind of help develop players.
It's interesting because I, you know, a lot of people are very pro NFL like I am, and some are. I choose not to watch the NFL right now. Do you foresee this league being somewhat of competition with the NFL or stealing some of that market share? Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. They're smart enough to know that they cannot compete with the NFL.
They got
to
work with them. Yeah.
Nobody can compete with the NFL. They're smart enough, and they have the NFL guys, and they have the founder of the league, Charlie Ebersol, whose father was the longtime NBC Sports executive, Dick Ebersol, who was 50-50 partners with Vince McMahon when they started the XFL. Dick learned a lot from those XFL days. Charlie Ebersol, who's the founder of the AAF, he's the one that did the XFL's 30 for 30 documentary that told the story of the league and where they went wrong and what failed and why it failed and how it failed. So I think Charlie's smart enough to know what the league's going to do. They cannot compete with the NFL. They cannot take on the NFL. Their best opportunity is to lock arm in arm with the NFL and say, look, we can help you in this way, whether it be technology, whether it be trying out new rules, whether it be trying out new television technology within the game, and then ultimately developing players to go into the league. That's where they can help the NFL. The NFL can help them by not squishing them and embracing them and saying, you can help us, we're going to allow you to help us, and we're going to help you help us.
That's very smart. I read something that was pretty astounding that said that the average contract, a three-year contract, a player may make $250,000, which when you compare that to what these salaries are in the NFL, I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah,
right?
Wow. That's still pretty good money.
It is still pretty good money.
Think about it. They open camp in January. They're doing the championship game at the end of April. It's not a bad couple months there.
Sure. Well, what do you think about some of these players that are on the market? What's happening with Antonio Brown? That's always a conversation lately, every day.
Diva wide receiver's kind of bug me.
Diva? Is he a diva?
He certainly appears.
Yeah.
I've never hung around him. Mm-hmm. I've never been around him, but I've seen some of the things that he's doing, and, you know, it's just...
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, he's been on social media. He's been saying that he wants to come play for the 49ers, and that might equate it to a trade that maybe a Marquise Goodwin and a draft pick is switched out. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I think Marquise is such a great talent. I don't know if I would do that if I was a John Lynch or a Shanahan.
I don't know. I mean, so, you've got an offensive coach. You invest a lot of money in a quarterback that will be back next year, right? By all accounts, Garoppolo is back.
Oh, so happy about that.
So, I mean, go out and get him a weapon if you can afford to give up some assets for it. You know, and maybe a little change of scenery is good for AB as well. One place for the same guys for a long time. And, you know, maybe it's good for him, too.
Change is good. What do you think the Arizona Cardinals are going to do with the first pick this draft? Don't know. No idea? Yeah, I know. You never know.
I heard people on the radio and on TV this morning saying that, you know, because said years ago about, you know, Kyler Murray would be a number one overall pick, that they would draft him. I find it, I would be shocked if they gave up on Rosen this quick. I was one of the people last year that was saying I thought Rosen was going to be the best quarterback out of that draft last year. I saw him play in college, and he did a lot with little. Very rarely do you see a team give up a quarterback, which you think was a franchise quarterback, you know, after 1 year, after his rookie. So, and look, you look at when quarterbacks get with different coaches, what a difference it makes.
Absolutely.
Right? So any of the flaws that Rosen had, now all of a sudden you have a head coach who's an, you know, quote-unquote offensive genius. Who knows what he's able to do with Rosen? Let's look at Jared Goff, right? Mm-hmm. Jared Goff, he's a bust. He stinks. He's terrible. He was with Jeff Fisher. You bring in Sean McVay, all of a sudden, Goff's an MVP candidate. Goff's great. We love Goff. He's going to the Super Bowl. If I'm an executive, I'm not moving from Rosen just yet. I think they have a lot of other needs that they can fill. You have a quarterback that you drafted last year. Roll with it. Fill a couple other needs.
Yeah, exactly. Start stacking in the different positions where it's needed. I know that there's a lot of quarterback questions. I know that Aaron Rodgers is excited about the new Green Bay head coach, so that's pretty exciting. Hopefully Packers can actually climb closer to the top where they used to be in their division, Matt LaFleur. And we'll see what happens with the Denver Broncos this year, too, with Vic Fangio, what he's going to do. So it'll be interesting. Anyhow, I want to give a shout-out to the Smith Center. I told them I would give them a plug. February 19th through February 24th, excuse me, is Come From Away Broadway performance. The musical is the story of 9/12, which is the day after 9/11, when a small town named Gander in Canada doubled in size due to the U.S. grounding all inbound flights into the U.S. It's a story of human kindness as people open their homes and hearts to these international travelers who were stranded in this small town of 7,000. Tickets start at $36. That is my real job, you know, so I have to give them a plug. I know. Have you been to the Smith Center?
I've been to the Smith Center a lot, and I love the Smith Center. I think it's awesome. I try to get to as many shows as possible, but love the Smith Center.
What's been your favorite show so far?
Ooh, that's a good one. Book of Mormon.
Why did I know that?
Phenomenal. Because I want to laugh when I go to that. That was amazing. Hamilton, obviously, was amazing. But, you know, I try to get to as many as possible.
Awesome.
I never say no if the invite comes. So
it's a beautiful venue. I'm so fortunate to work there. Anyhow, we're going to go to break here. Stay tuned for Vegas Sports Girl. We'll see you soon. We got some rock going on here with Vegas Sports Girl. All right, Mark, I'm going to get you to stand up here in a minute and dance in the studio. Welcome back to Rocker. Vegas Sports Girl. He is running the Mark the DJ. So welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. Check us out on Facebook, Vegas Sports Girl. You can watch this podcast, too. If you missed it today, you can watch it on VegasSportsGirl.com. So here we are. We're wrapping up the hour. It was fun, John. But let's talk about a little more drama in other sports. I know on the break we were talking about some NBA news. We've got some Major League Baseball. Most of us know already the NBA Summer League is a few months down during the summer. We're looking forward to that. What's going on in baseball? Let's talk about that because there's some people in that side.
Yeah, the interesting story there is pitchers and catchers have reported, but probably the two of the biggest names in baseball still don't have a home. Hometown local kid, Bryce Harper, still nothing. Manny Machado, still nothing. You know, to me, that's a tough one. I think, you know, over the years, major league teams have gotten burnt so bad on the back end of baseball contracts that you thought these days were going to be coming soon where they didn't commit $30 million a year or, you know, we were hearing $40 million a year for Bryce Harper over 10, 12 years.
Wow.
That's crazy. I mean, $400 million on a contract is nuts. Now, Bryce Harper is the kind of talent that at 26 years old, is he still going to be good at 36? You would think so, but these baseball teams never get the value on the back end of that contract. And I think nowadays there's so much that goes into the analytics of baseball that I think they look at it and go, okay, for $40 million a year, I can get four guys, you know, at $10 million a year that can produce the same thing as a Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. So I think they look at it very differently. So it's amazing to me that we're this far into the game and you have two of the superstars in baseball still without a home. So
it's crazy.
It'd be interesting to see what happens.
What do you think is going to happen with Bryce? Where do you ultimately think he's going
to
land?
I don't know. I kept hearing from people close to him that he did want to be on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I heard the Giants were talking to him. I think the Dodgers are out of that mix. I think the Padres were looking at him but probably can't afford him. Which is crazy to me. I can't believe that any major league team can't afford the amount of money that they get on their media deals and league sponsorships, etc. They can afford it. They just choose not to pay it.
I know in the NFL, I know, and the average duration of a, how long a player plays in the NFL is about 3 years. I mean, that's kind of the average. What is the average in baseball?
That's a good question. My sense is it's a lot longer because of guaranteed contracts.
Sure.
So the NFL, if you make a mistake or if a guy's not producing, you cut him and you move on. Baseball, you make a mistake on a 6, 7, 8 year contract, you're stuck with that. And what you're not going to do is you're not going to send a guy down, you know, and play in double A making $8, $9, $10 million a year. So you kind of got to kind of ride it out. But you know, the numbers in baseball were getting so out of control and so big, and I'm not one of those people that says this guy should not be paid this much. If somebody's willing to pay you $40 million, good for you. Go
sure.
Get it. The people that attack the players or say, you know, some nasty things about the players, good for them. If somebody came to you and said, I'm going to pay you $40 million a year, you're going to take
absolutely
it all day long.
Right.
So if he's good enough and he's put in that much time and that much, God bless him. Go get it. I'm not going to criticize him, but, you know, I think the owners now, they're looking at things a little differently. They have brilliant mathematicians that break down all the analytics of it. And I just think they look at those long-term big money contracts a little differently. And it's going to be interesting.
Who has the most fruitful, I guess, or the largest contract right now in the baseball league? I don't know
it
that.
It changes every
It changes
year.
All the time,
I mean,
right?
It's whoever signs the most recent big star, because, you know, one of these two guys is probably going to be the next guy that's the highest paid.
I do enjoy baseball. It's a little slow for me, but I do like baseball. It's kind of chill. It's kind of relaxed. You know, it's different than football or hockey, you know, where I'm having anxiety attacks all the time. Baseball's a little bit more relaxed. NBA Summer League is coming here to Vegas. That's always fun. Looking forward to that. And, you know, the Warriors are still at the top of their division. They're doing awesome.
Are
you Warriored out? I mean, is this a Laker era where it's like, okay, can we get somebody else to be
no.
at the top?
Listen, the Warriors are going to be at the top. They're
right.
going to be in the finals. That's kind of the given shoe. And I'm looking at the other stuff. Like, let's talk about all the tanking going on in the league. Uh-huh. Everybody's trying to get that number one pick. And I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm a lifelong Knicks fan. Mm. So it's very obvious that they're a terrible, terrible team trying to get the number one pick. I think last night they lost their 17th in a row.
Wow.
And I'm not so sure they'll win another game the rest of the year, but there's a heated battle going on for that worst team spot. You got Cleveland sitting in there. You got Phoenix sitting in there. You got the Bulls in there. I mean, it's everybody's racing to be the worst, which is awesome. And then the Lakers drama. I love Lakers drama.
There's so much
too.
Drama
oh,
with the Lakers.
It's the best.
It's so hard for me to even think about the Bulls not having a winning season. I remember when I was cheering for the Kings, I was a cheerleader on the sideline with Fast Break, and we were playing the Bulls. And, you know, I heard for years at how great Michael Jordan was. And here he was 5 feet from me, and he was just warming up, doing his layups. Game starts, and I'm literally a minute into the game, and he makes this beautiful layup. And I decide to stand up and start kicking and waving my pom-poms. And the girls on the sideline grabbed me and threw me down and said, you're cheering for the wrong team. And Scottie Pippen looks over at me and he goes, oh, this is awesome. We got our own cheerleader. I was so embarrassed. But to think that the Bulls are not having a good season, it's just kind of awkward for me. I don't know.
You know what? Good. Because the Bulls made my basketball younger years miserable. Being a Knicks fan, they had no shot of making it to the finals every year because Jordan was going.
Right.
And they would kill him. And then fast forward 20-some-odd years later, and two of my good friends, one's the general manager of the Bulls, the other one's the assistant general manager of the Bulls, and now I kind of have to like them again just because of friend relationships. But I can't cheer.
You have to
Bulls.
Like the Bulls. You watched Patrick Ewing back in the days with the Knicks.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'll never forget Charles Smith doing his pump move to try to lay it up where we almost knocked the Bulls off. I say we, like I was actually playing a role on the court, but I went to a lot of games and so close yet so far.
So fun. Let me ask you this.
as a spectator, do you enjoy basketball or hockey better because they're so fast paced?
I would say going to a game, hockey's awesome. And when the Golden Knights were coming, that's what I told everybody. You don't know anything about hockey. I still to this day have a hard time watching it on TV. But when you're there, it's a totally different experience. Totally different experience. And it's fun. It's a party going on, and the energy and the excitement, and they keep it moving pretty quick. The NBA can get a little dull during the course of the game, as you know, the fourth quarter's great. You know, the beginning of the game's great, but there's a lot of time in the middle where they're just kind of lollygagging a little bit to play it all out. But I think going to a hockey game is pretty fun.
Well, all kinds of sports news. I mean, there's so much to cover, it seems like. This is such a great city, and we're kind of the central point of all the action, especially now with the Raiders coming, hockey. There's always something going on here in Vegas.
And this is supposed to be the quiet time, the off season. But one thing that is coming in Las Vegas is the Ultimate Sports Weekend, which the Convention and Visitors Authority have done a great job promoting and selling. As you know, I think it's the first weekend of March. We have NASCAR going on. We have UFC going on. We have the Golden Knights going on. We have the Rugby World Sevens going on. It's just everything kind of, you know, coming down on Las Vegas and filling our town. And it truly is the ultimate sports weekend. It's going to be a blast. That's awesome. Just a hard time fitting all those events in one weekend.
Well, this is your downtime, John. I mean, you got to take some chill time. You're going to have a blast tonight too, by the way, at the night's game.
I can't wait. Is it bad to say I still wear either a Thunder jersey or a Thunder t-shirt to the night's game?
Yes. You cannot wear a Thunder jersey.
Listen, I go, and everybody I go with, they're like, are you really wearing that? And then once I'm in there, everybody starts high-fiving me and they love it. So the people that I go with hate it, but the people that are there love the fact that I got the Thunder stuff on.
Can I just tell you, I have contributed so much to the Vegas Golden Knights economy this year. You name it, I have it. And every time I'm in that store, you know, they're like, oh, you're here to buy more. But it's, you know, you're supporting a good cause. And they do so much in this community. They do so much with kids. I see what they're doing in their off time. And it actually makes me feel very happy. So those are the things that I want to just kind of bring to the table and share more with this community. So.
And they did a great job on the logo too. I mean, it's awesome. Kind of a cool, fun logo to wear.
Yeah.
They didn't overdo it. It was pretty simple. So, you know, when you put, whether it be, I still like the little star thingy logo jobby that they do.
Right.
You know which one I'm talking
right.
about. Which is great for radio as I move my hands all around.
Exactly.
Trying to explain it, but.
Well, you're on air too, buddy. Yeah, I got you on camera. Well, good luck to the Knights tonight. Stay tuned again. Let me just send you a reminder. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our website, VegasSportsGirl.com. We'll be here next Tuesday, hopefully, right?
Same bat channel.
Mark didn't kick us out here. You going to join us?
Best, man. We got the A-team back there.
This is the A-team. It's been fun. It's been real. What else do we got? Anything else before we close up the first week?
No, I would say congratulations to you. I feel honored and privileged that you would actually invite me to be a part of your first show. I wish you nothing but the best of luck, and I think you're going to do a great job. You did a great job, and keep on doing what you're doing. I wish you all the luck going
thanks
forward.
Thanks so much, John. Absolutely. You're amazing. I'll pay you later.
No problem.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Same time, same place, Tuesday at 4 o'clock.